Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Good evening, church. Thank you so much for coming to our youth service. It's really lovely to see all of you. Today, our theme is on some of the problems that young people face, and we've got a guest speaker, Bussy, who's talking about body image and how that can affect some young people. That's what she does as a job, and so it's very exciting to sort of get a very professional but also biblical aspect of it. Before that, we'll sing a few songs, but before that, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for bringing us all here. We're so grateful to be in your presence and to be in fellowship with each other. Lord, we pray that we take away what you want us to take away from this evening, and that it really touches us and changes us. Amen. So we're starting with a youth favourite, Build Your Kingdom Here.
Set your goal and aim.
Peace.
tying in with today's theme, I was actually reading earlier this week the verse that says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And it was just such a blessing, I think, to come into this service where body image is a really big issue, I think, for a lot of young people. And so this next song echoes that. It's one that Bussy has chosen before she comes to speak. And it's called I Know Who I Am. And it does just give a lot of things that God says about you. I'm walking power, I work in miracles, I live a life of favour. Because I am in God, I know who I am. So please stand or sit and sing with us. Please be seated as Bussy comes to speak to us.
Good evening to you all. Thank you for this opportunity. Feeling so nervous. So So, leading to this song that we just sang, I didn't know what I was going to say, but I was on my way to work on the train, and I was listening to my music, and God led this song on my spirit. I was going to speak to you this evening about body image, just to talk about some of the issues that young people, the challenges that young people are facing these days. With all this availability and access to technology. That shows my age. Growing up, we never used this access. We never used to have all these complex issues that young people face today with all the everything on internet and all the access to everything so instant. You have to get everything there and then, and all the things that are being pushed on the young people on television. So main things that God laid on my heart that young people might be facing, and that's not talked about in society, things to do with young people are suffering with self-harming issues because of pressure to feel a certain way and look a certain way, and because of we get a certain impression when we a first impression when we see people, and you have to be a certain look to be accepted in society and to be part of the cool gang. So that's God laid that song on my heart. If you know who you are in God, and if you know how God intended you to be, then no matter what the world says you are, if you know who you are and you know what you are through Christ, then no matter what is happening around you, you're not going to be moved or influenced by those things. And tying up with what I wanted to talk about, could we put Genesis verse 1, verse 25 to 26, and then 31. So it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish and the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female, and he created them. So I'm just going to talk a bit more on that verse. The previous one, that touches on most of the issues that young people are suffering today to do with sexuality and gender. That verse answers is the answer. It holds all the answer. We can go to professionals. We can seek for advice from individuals, but that's just human beings' opinions, and that's what the world is pushing on our young people. But that verse clearly says how God created individuals and how he intended in his original plan. Moving on to the next verse, please. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So evening and morning were, and the sixth day. So this just goes, that verse shows that God created us in his own image. He is the original. He holds the original template. So all the things that are being pushed on young people today, it's just a manipulation of the original template of what God originally intended it to be. So all the pressure young people are facing, plastic surgery to look a certain way, to have change yourself in a certain way, that's all part of the lies that the devil is pushing onto our young people. And that's what God placed on my heart to speak about. And so we are more as human beings. God intended we are more than just the physical body. We are mind, body, and soul. And the world, what is being presented by the world, is after your mind. Once you are made to feel a certain way, then you feel less than how God made you to be. God, in that verse, God says he gave dominion. So you are highly intellectual. You have the strength and the ability to face and challenge whatever it is that life puts at you. You don't have to harm yourself. You don't have to be overwhelmed by the circumstances. The answer is there. Jesus Christ is the answer. God has the answer. He holds the answer. He will connect you to the right people who will help you. And he will help you. He is there for you. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. Young people, we have to look to Jesus. He is the answer. He holds the answer. Another thing that is being pushed out there to the young people that is a lie. There's this whole thing about, are we just celebrating Black History Month, hence why I'm dressed like this, you can tell. But there's another thing that's being pushed at young people, especially young Black people, to say we need a Black Jesus. Jesus and God, they are beyond color and ethnicity. God and Jesus, they are beyond sexuality. It's a greater power, a greater being. That's why when in that verse it says, God said, let us make men in our image. As soon as you realize and grasp and hold on to that truth, all the challenges that plague humanity today, we will have the answer. We will know that we are greater than all the issues we are facing. And no matter what media pushes at us, he that is in us is greater than everything that we are facing. That's it. Thank you.
Be hip like the young people. She's obviously achieved it. I try and fail, but she's achieved it. Most of you will not have seen Busi because when she comes, she hides upstairs, and she's got two sons. She's got Tim and Eden, and her husband Taffy is in the men's fellowship with Graham and the rest of them lot. So she's been coming to this church, I think, about six. Yeah. That's Taff's son. This is Taff's wife. Well done, Graham. But, you know, so her job is dealing with young people and young people's issues. So even if there might not be that many young people in the house, and thank goodness for the ones that are here, you know, thank you for coming out. But we can pray, because the young people she deals with are some of our young people. And even if they're not our young people, God has to give her such wisdom in her job. Because she said, I didn't know whether to talk about the sexuality side of it because I don't know if the church is ready for it. But this is what is happening to them now. And this is what we need to be praying for them now. So she just focused on the body image. And, you know, Busi, thank you so much for taking the time to prepare what God laid on your heart. Around the room, there are two little prayers that young people can pray.
Or parents, we can pray for.
Yeah.
For the
parents,
children.
Grandparents. If you don't know any children's names, and I've got a whole list. Okay, I can give you some names of the children that you can pray for, because our young people, even if I used to say this to Daniela when she was young, and I said, okay, we're gonna talk about this issue like body image, and she'll be like, but I'm fine. My self-esteem is high and everything else, and I said to her, it's not always for you. I'm not saying these things for you, because you have friends that are going through self-harming. You have friends that have problems with their sexuality. It might not be a problem you have, but you can share this information. And that's what we are doing. We are giving you this information for God to tell you what to do with it, whether it's for your young people in your immediate family or for the younger, you know, young people outside that God gives you access to. Or it might be that you just need to pray for Busi and for when she's at work. You see, I say her name in the Shona way because she's my country woman. We're both from Zimbabwe. And her name is Busi Siwe. So, you know, say it however you like. It's four letters, B-U-S-I. But we really, really appreciate what God is doing to her and through her at work. And she just wanted to share that with. So before she goes, can we just pray for her, please? Mighty God, we thank you for Busi and we thank you for the work that she does with young people. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you give her, O Lord, on a daily basis to know what to say and how to say it so that lives will be changed and people will be drawn into your presence. We pray, Father, that as she goes out, that people will know that she relies on you, that she will find occasion to lead people into your presence. Even if she doesn't pray for them physically, Lord, we know that she will be praying for them internally. And Father, we just pray that you continue to bless her at work. We pray that you will give her that favor and the wisdom. And as she knows who she is in your house as a child of Almighty God, that you will send her in the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference, to work those miracles in the life of the ones you put before her. And mighty God, we thank you for her family. We thank you for the way that they are attending this church, and we pray that they will continue to be a blessing. Even just coming into church is such a blessing to see them and to see how they are growing. Mighty God, we just exalt your name right now. And we pray that indeed what she has done is she prayed before that, Lord, it will be to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, questions from the audience.
Oh. I think it's good to, I think in the Bible, there's certain characters and there were certain trends that they followed those days. My role model in the Bible was King David, and he enjoyed certain luxuries in his life. He had his wives and, well, meant wife now, and he enjoyed certain luxuries. And I think as a young person, it doesn't mean that if you're a Christian, you have to live this boring, sad life. There's fun things in Jesus, and there's trendy things in the Jesus way. That's why I wore my t-shirt. You can still look trendy, but still be a certain way that represents God's image in you. And as the Holy Spirit leads you, you don't have certain things that you felt comfortable wearing. You as the more of the Holy Spirit you seek, certain places where you used to go, or certain things that you used to do, as the Spirit leads you, you feel less comfortable and less inclined to want to do those things. So it's all in seeking Jesus and the Holy Spirit to lead us. Any more questions? Is that okay? Thank you.
Am I doing my bit? Oh, we've got a song before.
Sorry.
I haven't got a mic.
And from that, I really loved how passionate Busi was about it. About what she was speaking about. I know that it's her job, but it's really great that you were so passionate and so moved, I think, by what you had to say. It was really, really brilliant. Thank you. So this Who I Am song says, there's some of the things to the first one, but it's finding that identity in Christ. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Thank you.
to God. Oh, lovely. When it started raining today, I was really happy. I love the rain. I love getting wet in the rain. I think it's something from my childhood. When it rained, you had every excuse to be wet and dirty and muddy, and it was okay, sort of, until you had to wash it all off, and that wasn't very nice, especially if it got in your hair. But I thank God. So when it was raining today, and I was working and standing in the rain, dispatching these trains, I was quite happy. I was quite happy. But it's lovely to see you all having braved the rain and everything else to come. When Danny asked me to sort of talk about a few problems that the children are facing, I was really pleased that Wusi was going to be giving her time up to say some things about body image, because that is really such a big thing. And it's something that doesn't always show. It's one of these hidden things that we can't tell what somebody feels about themselves. And it's really, really difficult to see in a young child who is maybe going to school and seems to be making progress, having successes in sports and other areas. It's so difficult to tell what their body image is like. I have three kids. I don't know how much I qualify to speak on problems that children have, because it's very general. This is very, very general overview. But I do care for children. I love children. I love teenagers. I love difficult teenagers. I think I have difficult teenagers. So I've grown to love them. But God has given me a gift in dealing with children, and I can see life from their point of view. If they haven't done their homework, I can twist it around and think, why not? What is going on? And I think that's one of the things we have to be so sensitive to with children, to think, what is going on? What is on the underlying factor, you know? For people that have children or have been exposed to children, you know that if they throw a temper tantrum, it's not always about that they don't want to eat their dinner. There might be other things, and you have to dig deep. And I love taking the time to dig deep. And we as a church have a responsibility. We need to beware, and we need to be aware. We need to beware of the world and all its influences, but we also need to be aware of our children and the children in our care, because these things happen, and it's all underlying, and you know, it's like sweeping things under the carpet. Before long, you're going to get a little mold building up, and then it's going to all blow up in our faces, and we don't want to get to that. If we can deal with some of these problems early on, it would really, really help. So I was going to talk, because of course we're in church, so we're going to have a Bible verse, and it's Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, and I didn't tell JJ about this, so it's a lovely surprise for him. Don't worry if you can't find it in time, JJ. I've been given a certain time limit, and as you know, everybody, I like to try and keep to time, even if I... It says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. I love trains. As you know, I work for trains. So training is very, very lovely, because training means you stay on track. You stay on the right track, and unless something comes and bamboozles you off those tracks, you will stay on those tracks. So training children is really, really good, because you can only guide them. After a certain age, you stop the training, because they should have learnt it by that time. And then you can't give advice anymore. You can only offer advice, because obviously they know better. I saw this up to a certain, you know, with my kids, I could only offer advice and let them come round to my conclusion in their own time. And it's very difficult, I think, as parents, because we want sometimes to be their friends and we want to be nice to them, and it just doesn't work that way. So I looked at four factors that affect our kids, and two of them are linked, that they have friends. And it's great that they have friends. It's good for them to have friends. And it's good for us that they have friends so that they can get out of the house every now and again. But it's also good for us to know their friends and to be interested. The number of times, sorry, Daniela, but she used to come home with a whole list. Lisa said this, and Sally did this, and this person, and all these names. And I had to be interested. I wasn't always very interested, but you know, I had to give the time to sort of listen, and because I wanted to know her friends. I think it's so important that we know who our children are keeping company with. The Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron. And some of the time she wasn't rubbing against iron. It was lukewarm butter that had melted. You know, some of the friends she brought into the house and that she found company in, they all had issues. They all had problems. And I said to the Lord, this is, you know, Danny is the one who's supporting all of them. And he said, she is their support. She is their light. And so I had to rethink my idea. I wanted friends to support my child. But the way that it used to happen was totally different. Emmanuel is just as bad. He has friends that need calls at 11 and 12 o'clock at night. 2 o'clock, I woke up the other day, 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was chatting to somebody. You're supposed to be sleeping, you know. But his friend needed him. And so he was there for his friend. So friends can be a problem, but sometimes our kids are being a light, and they're being, and the way that looks is so totally different to what we expect and how we used to do things. And we were watching a film, and it was on the phone again. I was like, you're not even watching this film. Yes, but I've got to send this, I've got to do this to my friend. And the connecting, the way they connect to their friends is so different. But those friends bring the second F, which is fun. We need our children to have fun. It is serious. Life is serious for them at whatever stage they're at. You know, even a child going into reception finds that that is very serious compared to just nursery or play school or anything else they've done. It's rigid, and there are structures, and they have to stick to a certain time, and they can't just go and eat any time now. So that's serious for a four-year-old. And then they have to sit down and listen and learn all the skills that we need them to learn for Sunday school. But, you know, our kids need to have fun. But we need to be careful of that fun. Because there are some things that, you know, my kids are very good to me in that they talk to me and they share things that some kids would be like, you did not tell your mom that. And they do. They tell me the most bizarre things, and I really feel privileged of how they share, and they trust me with their emotions. And I mean, I have trained them to do this. It was like, how did school go? And a one-word answer was not enough. You had to tell me more. Like, what was good about it? So what was the worst thing you did today? It was a whole conversation, and they were like, oh, I better get it over and done with and just answer her, and then she'll leave me alone, which I did. Because, you know, I just wanted to be involved in their lives, and, you know, because the Bible tells us that we do need to train the children. We can't just leave them to run riot up and down the high street. We need to show them the way to go. And the third F is family. Oh, what lovely, lovely families we have. But families can be a challenge. Because in our family units, sometimes we're not always the most amazing role models for what our children need. We expect them to pray. We expect them to read the Bible. We expect them to know the books of the Bible. We expect them to sing and to stand when they're in church and sing. And we expect them to sit down at the right time. We expect them to give their lives to the Lord at the right time. And we expect them not to swear and to be aware of the right type of music and all of this. But are we modeling that? Even as a church, even if you don't have children in the house any longer, are we as a family modeling the trust? Daniela pulled me up the other day when we had a financial need. It was linked to Jerome, and we had a financial need. And she said, but isn't God going to provide? I was like, yes, but what? Is he not going to provide? has he not provided before? So I had to run off to the side and apologize and, you know, and repent and say to the Lord, I'm sorry. Yes, my child has just told me off at the right time to say, you're always saying God will provide. You're always saying he can do exceedingly abundantly and all of these things that I say, even at the pulpit. And she was like, well, show me that you trust him to do it. Show me, you know. You can't sort of say, oh, I can't remember the last time I prayed and expect our children to pray about every problem. We have to show them how to do it. We have to say to them, come here and we're going to pray hesitantly or whatever, in whatever way, because it's not going to happen just like that. As families, we have to show that we can love each other, even the difficult people. We have to show as a church as well that, oh, you can't just stay in your cliquey little group of people that you always see every Sunday and have teas and coffees with them. You have to mingle with people that you might not agree politically with, maybe. You know, some people might be like, oh no, Liz Truss is out. And you're dancing around saying, woohoo, Liz Truss is out. We're all one family. We're still in church together. We're still worshiping God. We still have to communicate. We still have to. And we have to model that to our children. I remember one of the times when the boys got to an age and they could choose to stay at home. And then I was working and I thought, I don't really feel like going to church today. Morning service, I was working, so I should have gone to church in the evening. And, and the boys were like, Mom, it's time to go to church. You didn't go in the morning. You tell us we have to do it. If they don't come in the morning, I encourage them to come in the evening. And they do. But then they were expecting me to do the same. Rightly so. I have to model what I say. So families can provide a challenge for our kids. And sometimes, and I know this is really, really difficult, and I struggled with this for a long time, when our kids want to trust people outside of the family, when they want to rely on their church family. And I know, Pat Atwell, you're a great support for Danny, and I do love and appreciate that you're involved in her life, so thank you for that. And there are lots of other people that do speak into my children's life, even as a prayer thing. And I struggled so much because one day Pat came and said to Danny, I'm still praying on that matter that you talked to me about. I was like, what? What? She told you and not me? And I never said anything to you, Pat, but I really struggled with that. And I went to the Lord. I was like, how can she? I make time for Danny. I do all of this. I make myself approachable. I don't ever have a go at her and all of this. And he said, I thought you said the church was family too. Right. So when I'm saying that family can be challenging, but they can also be a great support, because I know that in this church my children are loved, and I know my children are prayed for in this family, and I know that my children grow and thrive because of the love they found in our church family. So families can be challenging, but families can also be a support. And I thank God every day for the love and support that is in this church for the children. Another challenge that children might have, and they're not in any particular order, but their faith. Their faith is so, so, so challenged because, for example, Emmanuel's football is always on Sunday. Always on Sunday. They are if you look at some of the young people that used to come to church as they were younger, now that they've got part-time jobs, the Sunday shifts pay more. And there are temptations out there that pull them out of church. Or you'll find somebody knocking on the door downstairs. He's got to go. We've got to go. We're going somewhere. We're doing something. And yet we expect these children to be faithful, to be full of faith. How are they going to be filled with faith if we're drawing them out from, you know? So their faith, we as a church need to build it up. We need to demonstrate reliance on God and approachability, approaching God together as a family and showing them that that's our faith. That is the faith that we hold on to, that we lean on, that we rely on, that it should be our very breath, Our children shouldn't always come to us first as a problem. Oh, Mom, this is what I've prayed about. That's what I would love to hear from my children. Taking notes. Look, Mom, I've already prayed about this, but I want you to know about it. That would be ideal, wouldn't it? That would be the greatest thing. You've gone to God first because, you know, ultimately he's going to give the answer. He might do it through my hands. He might do it through the hands of others. But go to God first. Because the only way for the children to grow their faith is for God to be at the center of everything that they do. I haven't seen anybody. People in the world succeed. I don't know how they do it. But as a Christian, you want the success of your children to be rooted and grounded in God. Because that is success that will survive, and it's success that will not cause them issues anywhere else. You know that Emmanuel wants to be a footballer. Tim as well. Tim also wants to be a footballer. He's on the same path. He's a year ahead of Emmanuel. For that to come to pass and to be, you know, the good success that the Bible talks about? You can have success, you can have all the money, but for it to be something that doesn't turn your head and twist it about, as a young person, it has got to come from God. Because if you listen to a lot of interviews that the footballers talk about, Paul Merson is one of the old footballers, but he was talking about the mental health, about being given all of everything he wanted. He could have cars, he could have 5 cars, and the football clubs were ready to pay him anything, any amount of money. And he had all this money, and he was still not happy. And he was like, why was he still not happy? Because it was not good success. Because the Bible tells us that God would give us life and life more abundantly. He had life, he had wealth, and he was abundant, but it was not from God, and it was not rooted and grounded in anything. They're footballers that at their height bought a whole road of houses for their family so that they would all live together. And of course started quibbling and arguing and everything else. Michael Owen did that. He bought a whole cul-de-sac because he didn't want journalists and other people coming close. And then his sister had that house, and he distributed all his siblings, and his parents were all living together. It wasn't good success. Because this one said they found it too claustrophobic. So they wanted their own space. If you look at, you know, some of the people that have won the lottery, some people would think that was success. Some people would think that's great. But then if you, 5 of them at least, have committed suicide. Because it was not good success. And the only place that good success would come is if things are rooted and grounded in the Lord. And we have to pray that whatever the kids get, it is rooted and grounded in their faith. The other thing that children might struggle with is the future. Because, oh my goodness me, it's all going to pot, isn't it? I mean, this world really. Talk about climate change, talk about politics, talk about faith, talk about church numbers, talk about so many things. Daniela sent me a meme the other day, and it says, my child has had 4 chancellors, in his lifetime, 3 home secretaries, 2 prime ministers, and 2 monarchs. He is 4 months old. In the last 4 months, the world has turned on its head again. We thought the pandemic had done it. Louisa is studying politics. I think she's just like, ho, 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 ho. When I heard that Liz Truss had resigned, because I listened to it live on the radio, I was driving back from work, and I just thought, oh, Louisa, this is your essay, this is your assignment, writing itself. Because if you look, I don't even know when the last stable government that we had, you know, there's so much to take out of that. And the world, what is the future for our young people going to look like? I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. They say that, you know, the future is bright. I don't think it's orange, but they say the future is bright. And the only reason I can say amen to that is because I know that the future is rooted and grounded in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that God Almighty is still on the throne. He is the maker of heaven and earth,
He set all things in place before there was even anything on this earth. He made my body, every cell. He knows the length of my toenails. You know, God is still in control. And that is the only hope we can give to the young people, to say, don't look at us and what mistakes we've made of the world, of our lives, of anything else. Rely and trust on God, because He is the one who holds it all in place. Microphone's gonna screw. Because we're living in such a turmoil time. How can you encourage them when the pandemic can come and wipe out billions? I was talking to a passenger today. I'm always talking to passengers. But the passenger I was talking to today, he said, our road has 5 houses. And he said, this man in the one house, he had, you know, he had his issues and we knew about it. COVID knocked him out in the first month of COVID. And then this other lady, she hardly ever went anywhere. COVID got her. You know, and they were, of the 5 houses, 4 of them had had somebody die in the, he said we moved house. I don't think that was the solution. He lived in Birmingham and they were going on their way to Bristol. It was all like, oh my goodness, I've been to Birmingham. I've got friends in Bristol, you know. But it was all like, how do you explain all of that to young people and what hope can you give them except Jesus? Yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. The world can change as much as it like. Sunshine yesterday, torrential rain, thunderstorms. Folkestone Central, I got out to dispatch the train. Thunderstorms, I was like, really? And lightning was flashing across the skies and a massive downpour. I don't know whether you guys had it here, but massive downpour suddenly. I was like, yes, Lord, you are still up there ruling and reigning. Let it be sunshine on Saturday, torrential rain on Sunday. If the winds are blowing tomorrow and there's a hurricane, I will not be surprised, because God loves variety. He really, really does. But with all the things that are happening, it's so, so good. The only thing that I can encourage my kids, your kids, all of our kids to say, God is still on the throne. He is still the one who is ruling and reigning. And only Christ, in conclusion, can complete our story, can complete my children's story, complete each and every one of us. Only God can bring it together. One of the songs that we say is that He holds me fast. Because God will not waste His resources. He made us all for a reason. And it is so good to know that when He holds me fast, oh, He really holds me in place, and He holds me on the plan that He has for my life. I always like to think of arrows. I am an arrow. I am a child of God. Sometimes when you see me and I'm doing something, honestly, just remember that He stood there like a master archer. He's got His eye on the target, and He's shot me for that target. I will not miss my place. And I was just saying to one of the young people I was talking to today, your gifting, your place, your development, everything that you will not miss it. You will not miss it, because God shoots you for a target, for a specific time. And we were talking about generations. What was that song we sang? We are a chosen generation. I could not have been born any time except in 1973 on the 19th of July. Never. I could never have come, even if my mother wanted it. I could not have been born at any other time, because I was made for such a time as this. And our young people are made for such a time as this. As Nathan says, that they are today's generation. They are today's young people. And it is our job to train them. So I pray that you will join me in praying for them. And choir, you can, singing people and playing people, you could come and then we'll wrap up. But I was just going to, again highlight the prayers that BC printed out for us. There's 2, and they're dotted around on all the tables. And of course, as typically, you guys, you've all sat at the back, and there's some over here, but before you go, please make sure you've got the two prayers that she's put out. But before we close, I'll just like to pray, and then I'll hand back over to Danny. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you because you are a God of the now. You're a God of yesterday, and you are the God of the future. That whatever our young people are going through, whether it's fun and friends, whether it's family, challenges in their faith, or the future, whatever things they are concerned and worried about, even if it was their body image and what they think and feel, we know that you are at the center of it all. Because as the Bible said, that you saw what you had created and you said it was good. So we know that your intentions for them is good, that you are pleased with them. And we thank you, O God, that you want to be the center of their lives. I pray for each and every one of us that, Lord, you will show us how to support them, how to love them in their now, how to take them to their tomorrow, and how to build them up in the skills they will need to get there. Father, we pray that we will not forget to pray for them and that we will not be lazy not to pray for them. But Lord, we will be moved by your Holy Spirit and you will bring it to our remembrance often so that we can touch heaven by bending our knees, knowing that when we cry to you as your children, you are attentive, even better than a mother who nurses her child, that you care for us and you care for our young people. So, Holy Spirit, we pray that you will bless them, you will touch them, you would accompany them, you would move them, you would change them, and you would do only what God can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Tying into that, I do say a lot to my mum. I do come over to her and say, okay, here are all the problems that I have in the whole wide world. Here are all the things that I'm worried about. And we go through them, and even just saying them is really helpful. But this next song, it says, in the crushing, in the pressing. And when I was putting together this song list, I was really thinking of the crushing and the pressing of all the pressures that young people feel. All of the body issues, all of the worries that they have about the future, everything that's really a problem for them. You are making new wine. In all of the stuff that we stress about and all of the problems that we face, God is bringing new wine out of us. And so please stand and join us in song.
Thank you.
please be seated. This is about the end of our service. Thank you so much for coming. I just wanted to give a couple more encouragements before we leave. Really just to talk to your children, grandchildren, young people that you know. I think the biggest thing that I see in some of the kids that I've started working with just recently is that the standoffish ones just want to be heard, the disruptive ones or whoever it is that you think maybe they're not interested in whatever project it is, that they just want to be heard and listened to. And also teaching kids communication is so, so important. And so even if it's a point of, if you don't want to talk to me about this right now, it's still either come to me when you're ready or talk to somebody about it. I think encouraging children to talk to people is so, so important with every issue that they're going through. As we leave, we're going to sing Build Your Kingdom Here Again because it's a favorite, and that's really what we want, is that in everything that we're worried about, that God is in that place. Let's pray before we leave. Father God, thank you so much for everything that we've heard. We've been moved and challenged, and there's so much that's been shared for us today. We're just so grateful that we have so many young people in our church, so many children and people coming through the youth. We hope that, we pray that you will hold them, you will hold them fast, you will hold on to them and help us support them in the right way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.